Oh yeah, Rapp Plumbing and Heating has not met a job they can't handle. Too big a crap? Call Dan Rapp at 429-1196.
Unlock the power of convenience with Sunlight Federal Credit Union. Thanks to their partnership with Co-op Shared Branching, you have access to over 5,600 shared branch locations and over 30,000 surcharge-free ATMs nationwide. Make deposits, withdrawals, loan payments, and transfer funds between your accounts with ease, no matter where you are. Join Sunlight Federal Credit Union today and experience banking that works for you. Member NCUA, Sunlight Federal Credit Union, building a brighter future together.
Easter will be here before you know it. Hi, this is Nikki from Roosters. If you haven't been into Roosters lately, come by and check out all the fun stuff we have for Easter. And if you have been by recently, please come back soon. We have Easter cards, Bibles, jewelry, kids' books and toys, and the cutest little plush bunnies. So stop by and enjoy some Chicago roast coffee while you browse the Easter goodies and more at Roosters, your inspirational gift store, 206 North Main in downtown Sheridan.
There's something comforting about good homestyle cooking. It's better when you don't have to cook it. Hi friends, this is Mark from the PO News. We're all about good, comforting, homestyle meals here at the PO News. We'd love to see you either for breakfast or lunch. For lunch, try a Demp burger. 1/3 pound fresh Ligursky all beef patty, topped with hickory smoked pit ham, fresh tomato, lettuce, onion, and pickles, finished with PO's sweet chili aioli on a brioche bun. See you at the PO.
Hey, it's Les Schwab Tires. Right now, get up to $80 instant savings on a set of 4 select tires. Our spring tire sale is a little gift just to say, congrats, you made it through winter. Now you can swap out those winter tires for a fresher set at a lower price. Book an appointment online today. Les Schwab Tires, ranked number 1 by Forbes for customer service and auto repair and maintenance. Limited time offer while supplies last. See leschwab.com/sale for details.
This is Public Pulse, your information and conversation program, brought to you by First Federal Bank and Trust. You can voice your opinion by calling 672-KROE. That's 672-5763. Now, your host for Public Pulse, Floyd Whiting.
Good morning and welcome to Public Pulse. This morning, I am joined by University of Wyoming Director of Institutional Communications, Mr. Chad Baldwin. Good morning, Chad.
Morning, Floyd.
How are things down in Laramie?
Oh, great. Semester's going well. Students back from spring break, and we're rolling toward the finish line here.
And
it's still a ways out, but yeah.
Still got a lot of studying to do, and then, of course, you got the big finals week that we all didn't look forward to when we were in school. Now, when it comes to admissions down there at the university, recently you guys extended the confirmation deadline for student applications. Why was the date pushed out, and when is that new deadline?
Yeah, Floyd, so a lot of people, I think, have seen that the Federal Department of Education has been struggling with its free application for federal student aid, which is called FAFSA, and this is across the country, and it's really actually aggravated a lot of universities like us. But because of that, we're not able to provide the financial packages to our prospective students on the schedule we usually do. So we moved our confirmation deadline from May 1st to June 1st, just to give students and their families more time to make decisions. It's not something we wanted to do, but lots of universities have done this, and we just want to be able to give our prospective students as much time and information as they need.
Absolutely, and everybody knows that filling those FAFSAs out takes a little bit of time. There's a lot of information that you got to get on there, but doing that is absolutely critical towards the financial aspect of your education. Now,
absolutely.
You guys are actually experiencing a bit of an increase in applications as well. Did I read that right, that you guys are seeing numbers that you haven't seen in close to 4 years?
Yeah, it's best of 5 years, actually. We're up 7.3% in student applications from this time last year. That's both resident and non-resident. And our number of admitted students is up 8.7%. So that's, you know, that's really encouraging. You know, we've been doing additional marketing, additional efforts, and these places where we've been doing it, we're seeing more students interested in UW and, you know, filling out the application, sending in some money. And then when you're admitted, you know, you have to turn in your transcripts and that kind of information. So we're encouraged for this fall. You know, we know we had didn't have a very good recruiting class last year, but we're really encouraged about this fall.
Now, are most of these in-house students from our state?
So, you know, it's about half and half, probably, if you look at it. You know, the numbers in Wyoming are up 3%, and then Colorado, which is the place where we get the second biggest number of students, is up 4.6%. But then if you look at, like, from California, we're up almost 14%. Texas, over 14%.
Wow.
Nebraska, almost 18% increase. And Washington State, like, it's a 32% increase.
Holy
cow.
So
those numbers are smaller there in Washington, obviously. When we have a great message, Floyd, and when we had some additional marketing funding to get that out to folks in some of these other states, they've been responding. So we're excited about that.
And Chad, when the team sits around and decides, you know, we're really going to push recruiting efforts in X, Y, and Z, how do we decide where we're going to put that extra effort and those extra funds towards recruiting? Is it usually places where we've seen a lot of students come to us from, or is it actually the opposite end of the spectrum, where we look at states or territories where we don't get a lot of students, and so we want to dump more effort into that?
It's probably a little bit more of the former there, Floyd. Places that we've had success before, we probably kind of put the emphasis there. But we do what we call experimental kind of markets as well. Places like Georgia or you know, Pennsylvania or that kind of thing, farther away. We try to focus on those places where we're seeing the. And the thing about that's interesting in this digital era is, you know, you see the responses to your digital ads, and if people are clicking on things in a particular region, then you can kind of focus there as well. But you know, we also have to look at how many students are actually going to, you know, besides just clicking on an ad, how many are actually going to visit and come here too. So we kind of take that all into account.
And I do know President Ed Seidel went around and spoke at a lot of different organizations. Do you feel that really had a bit of an impact, kind of sending the president out?
Yeah. He goes out. I actually organize those. We go visit at least, you know, 1 to 3 high schools around the state each month. You know, we can't say that is you know, we can't give you a specific ROI on that to Floyd, but it certainly helps, absolutely. As we get out around the state, the president's talking to students directly in their schools. We do evening events as well. And, yeah, getting out around the state and doing the in-person stuff, we're you know, certainly it makes a difference.
And some of the, you know, the colleges down there have really got so many fantastic research programs going on. They're making amazing discoveries. The partnerships are expanding literally all over the world to perform these research projects. And one in particular, a while back, as a matter of fact, almost exactly a year ago, Chad, you and I talked about the tardigrade.
Yeah.
An assistant professor of molecular biology there at UW, Thomas Boothby, and his colleagues actually showed that natural and engineered versions of certain tardigrade proteins and sugars can be used to stabilize an important pharmaceutical that is used to treat people with hemophilia and other conditions without the need for refrigeration. This was huge. I remember you and I talking about this quite a bit, but recently that little water bear has taught us something else. Can you tell us about this newer study?
Yeah, so Dr. Boothby and his associates in his lab have taken proteins from these little creatures and put them in human cells. and shown that this they can slow down the molecular processes of human cells by introducing these proteins. So that's in addition to what we talked about, what you just talked about, which means that we're talking about things that could maybe slow the aging process and also help in the long-term storage of things like human stem cells for potential life-saving treatments. And so, Dr. Boothby's he's one of our all-stars down here. He's getting a lot of attention, and one of his the co-researchers on this latest one came to the University of Wyoming from the Howard Hughes Medical Institute just to join his lab.
Wow.
That's Dr. Sanchez Martinez, and they're doing some amazing work. You know, they're funded by the National Institutes of Health and NASA and other entities that are really interested in what these little critters, they're microscopic, you know, but they have a way of just kind of shutting down when conditions are bad. It's a gel that is in their cells. It's kind of a state of suspended animation, and it slows down the life process. And if we can use that to help with human health, that would be huge. And we're on the cutting edge on that.
And it's absolutely amazing, the applications, because I got to thinking about it. You know, this can lead to techniques in preserving many different types of cells. Once again, like blood, perhaps, or even, you know, if we get to the point, imagine being able to preserve donated organs. That would be a huge leap in medical science, and one that is absolutely life-saving to so many individuals. Yeah.
And the other application is in agriculture, right? For, you know, seeds that are more can handle, you know, maybe less water.
Wow! Yeah, I didn't even think of that.
That sort of stuff. And NASA's interested because it's like, you know, for putting humans in space, it could help you know in our efforts to reach Mars, for example.
Long term travel, colonization.
Yeah.
That would be absolutely amazing. And all of this. Going on down at UW because of a microscopic little creature.
Yeah.
It's absolutely amazing. All right. Now, we're going to have some more with our University of Wyoming right after this. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM, Sheridan.
Have you ever wondered what makes First Federal Bank and Trust unique? We're a mutual bank, which means our focus is on you. Unlike other banks, we don't pay shareholders, we pay our community. At First Federal Bank and Trust, your financial interests drive our decisions. Bank with us and experience the mutual bank difference, where the power of community fuels your financial success. First Federal Bank and Trust is Sheridan's only mutual bank. Member FDIC.
Reach, Resources, Education, Autism, Community Harmony presents Raleigh's Birthday Bash, an evening with Travis Larson. And former member of Evanescence, Jen Majura. Full of music and stories, Saturday, April 13th at Luminous Brew House. Special guests will be Sidetrack featuring Philip Carlton. The show starts at 7 with a suggested cover of $10. Be sure to purchase raffle tickets for a shot at the PRS Silver Sky guitar with proceeds benefiting Reach. Raleigh's Birthday Bash with Travis Larson and Jen Majura, sponsored in part by Sheridan Media. Saturday, April 13th, 7 p.m. at Luminous Brew House, 504 Broadway in Sheridan.
Remember when your mom used to say, "Just because everyone's thinking it doesn't mean you have to say it"? Well, if you ignored her and went ahead and said it, then you need the calming effects you can only get at the Health Nut. Aisle after aisle of health-giving supplements, a healthy soup, sandwich and salad bar, a grocery store, and smoothies that'll get you back to how you felt before you were full of regret for being so honest. The Health Nut, located in Sheridan's 5th Street Mall.
Gas and grocery budgets taking a hit. ERA Carroll Realty and Buffalo Realty, ERA Powered, can help with that. Hi, this is Katie Crawford, and we're back with another gas and grocery sweepstakes. You could win a $200 gift card to Ridley's and a $200 gift card to the Farmers Co-op. All you have to do is enter the gas and grocery sweepstakes on the contest page at SheridanMedia.com for a chance to win. ERA Carroll Realty and Buffalo Realty, ERA Powered, where we're all about more than real estate. We're about family, friendship, and our community.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse. I'm Floyd Whiting, and this morning I am speaking with the Director of Institutional Communications at the University of Wyoming, Mr. Chad Baldwin. Now, in the first part, We actually talked about some really amazing discoveries going on down there at the University of Wyoming, as well as a confirmation deadline for student applications being pushed out a little bit more. And we also have one of the highest numbers of applications at the university since 2020. Continuing on, recently a UW researcher was part of a collective team that unveiled a next-generation fungicide. Chad, who was this researcher, and just what did the team figure out?
Yeah, so this is a number of folks, but we have so there are folks in our Department of Molecular Biology, and it's Yoon Suk Park and Jong Chang Wu. They are, and then we have a graduate student from South Korea working on this as well. And then they're collaborating with people at UC Davis and Texas A&M and that sort of thing on this too. And the issue here is that, you know, gray mold fungus kills a lot of plants across the world, and that's bad for agriculture. It's like it destroys more than 50 million tons of rice year across the country. That's enough to feed a billion people. And so You put fungicide on to kill this stuff, but then the pathogens then develop resistance, right? It's like antibiotics and bacteria. What our research has done is I can't honestly, the technology, it's really difficult to describe, but basically they're finding ways to develop fungicides that are going to break through this resistance and basically help the world feed itself better.
That's amazing.
So it involves an inhibitor and a chemical compound they can use, and it's an effective fungicide against some of these pathogens that have developed resistance. So it's a big deal. It's getting some worldwide attention we're helping the world feed itself right here at the University of Wyoming.
That's incredible. And the amount of food that this will help to preserve is incredible as well. I mean, and that's something that I don't think a lot of people think about. You know, eventually, some of this fungus and other things at the microscopic level, they do develop immunities to the pesticides, the fungicides, the different things that we have to use to try and preserve food and other materials. And so we've got to try and stay one step ahead all the time.
And we're talking things here like grapes and strawberries and tomatoes and rice and that kind of thing. That's the sort of stuff that fungus can, this gray mold fungus can mess up. It's really cool to see what we're able to do by really digging into the molecular biology of this stuff, really at the molecular level, figuring out how to do this work.
And we're going to stay on the agriculture side of things because the University of Wyoming researchers have actually recently published some results assessing coal char as a soil amendment. Chad, could you tell folks what coal char is and how did they find it affects soil?
Yeah, so we all know that the coal industry is really important in our state. And so researchers at UW have been working for years, really, to try to find some alternative uses for coal. And we're talking about, so it's not just something that you burn to create electricity, but and a lot of effort's going into maintain that use for it as well, but also to look at how you could other things. So, there's a house that's been built out of coal bricks, and it's they're looking at that. But this is now looking to see if you apply coal char to soil, can it help basically serve as a kind of a fertilizer? And so, coal char and biochar could increase, on semi-arid rangeland soil, they could make it more productive. And so they've done this research. They've actually put it on some dryland forage grasses and monitored it, and they published their research, which is encouraging.
So we're actually looking at maybe adding coal through a process, coal char, we could turn semi-arid communities green.
Yeah, especially in dry climates like ours. And so, coal char is pyrolyzed is what it's called. It's heated at a high temperature without oxygen, and that's what turns coal into coal char. So that's and what it does, it prevents nutrient and moisture runoff in soil. So it's not like it's necessarily it's about keeping moisture in soil.
So it's not the nutrient itself, but it's sure as heck it binds it due to that molecular setup of carbon.
Yep, exactly.
That is incredible. And something that you would think, I'm sure someone sitting around was like, let's try and throw some coal in this and see how it works. And then all of a sudden, boom, it turns out well. I think that's absolutely amazing. And not only that, we can take it into areas of the world that are not known for agriculture and basically terraform or transform those.
That's what it appears, Floyd. It sure does.
That's a fantastic application. There's a lot of semi-arid biomes in this world where people have fought against dust and against rock to try and grow a living out of it. So this is a promising study. Now, another piece of evidence that what's going on down there at the University of Wyoming is pivotal to technological development. You recently had, at the College of Engineering and Physical Sciences, an assistant professor received a major award from the National Science Foundation to help fund his research. Who is this assistant professor?
All right. I got to find this one here, Floyd. Yes, it's Dr. Zhang, and he is his work is in composite materials. So that's like, creating things that can be used for construction and in a wide variety of things, aerospace, all kinds of stuff where looking about composite materials and hybrid composite materials. So again, we're getting into some fairly technical stuff that I'm probably not great at explaining, but his work is promising enough that he got $600,000 from the National Science Foundation to fund his activities for the next 5 years.
That's incredible.
It's called the NSF Career Program for Early Career Scientists, and so he's doing some amazing work, and it's. I'm going to tell you what it's described as and see if you make sense of it. It's state-of-the-art nonlinear composite microstructure modeling, and so it's computational. So this is using computing to help improve our materials that we use in all aspects of life.
So basically using computers to try and figure out how we can make things like carbon fibers or alloys better for tomorrow's use.
That's correct. Yep. Yeah. And, he's in our College of Engineering and Physical Sciences. There's opportunities. The thing that's amazing is, he's one of the parts of this is he's going to enhance students' computational modeling skills as part of this project. So this isn't just about him. This is about him using his position in our school of computing also, because he's in both of those colleges to help students.
That's great.
That's what's really cool is so many of our professors, they're experts in their fields, and then, you know, but they're also about bringing people along with them, you know, and so that's what Dr. Zhang's doing.
And who knows, you know, some kid up at the Sheridan High School right now who's interested in you know, any kind of molecular engineering could join the University of Wyoming, jump into that lab, and help with the next breakthrough.
Absolutely. It happens all the time down here, Floyd.
Now, before we go, I do want to ask you about UW's Biodiversity Institute organizing a hunting and fishing symposium. And this is going to be happening April 6th. Chad, where's this going to be held? This sounds really interesting.
Yeah, it's going to be at Central Wyoming College in Riverton. And we're working with our colleagues there to do this. But, yeah, it's a hunting and fishing symposium. We know how important that is not only to our quality of life in Wyoming, but to our economy. And so so this is, I think, the second year we've done this. And it's, you know, it's to celebrate the practices of hunting and fishing while also drawing attention to, you know, the conservation and management issues that are related to that.
Well, that's so great.
So we decided to take it outside of Laramie this year, and that's so we're going to do it at CWC. And there will be a pretty strong element about tribal interests in this area. So the Shoshone and Arapaho Fish and Game, their Buffalo Initiative they have there, you know, that's it. So they'll be involved in it as well.
So that's just an extra, you know, some frosting on the cake there for anglers and hunters. Now, has there been discussion of maybe going somewhere else next year, maybe traveling around the state with this symposium?
I think I suspect that that's very much in their thought process. But I haven't talked to the organizers to know if they intend to. But it does, you know, what they say here is they want to make this a localized sort of thing, where they're focused on specific issues within the host community. So I think there's a good chance you'd see this in another part of the state next year.
Oh, that's great. And you know, because you could attend each symposium and learn something new every single year, no matter what.
You bet.
Because of the area that it's in. I think that's amazing. And it's a great way to keep the symposium fresh and relevant among the hunters and the anglers out there. Plus, you get to learn so much about the state by attending these things. If you're one of those avid sportsmen or women that go out and like to explore Wyoming's options. Chad, I want to thank you so much for calling in this morning, my friend. It's always great to hear about what's happening down there at our university.
I sure appreciate the time, Floyd. Thank you.
When we come back, we're going to speak with our Sheridan County Library System. This is Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
Means new adventures. Make this year the start of your homeownership adventure with First Federal Bank and Trust. Our local team will guide you through the home loan process from start to finish. Explore our online tools 24/7, from customizable financial calculators to daily mortgage rates. Call us or stop by our home loan center to get pre-qualified or apply online today at efirstfederal.bank. At First Federal Bank and Trust, we're making home happen in Sheridan. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Dreaming of green grass, sunny days, long drives down the fairway? So are we. It's time to get ready for the 2024 season at Kendrick Golf Course. Rates are still extremely reasonable, making Kendrick Sheridan's best golf value. Take advantage of their preseason discounts and save even more. Discounted passes now on sale at City Hall or online at SheridanY.gov through March 31st. Yep, the snow will be gone and the grass will be greening up before you know it. So don't miss out. Golf this season at Kendrick Golf Course.
Wake up and smell the savings, beverage lovers, because at your locally owned McDonald's, they have your beverage cravings covered with any size coffee for $1. That's right. Whether you're a small, medium, or large kind of coffee lover, you can enjoy your favorite cup of joe without breaking the bank for a buck. But hold on to your straws. Quench your thirst any time of the day with any size soft drink for $1.29. McDonald's. treat yourself to a Siptastic experience. Sheridan, Buffalo, and Gillette.
You hear about the wearing way of vehicle buying, but what does it mean?
It means stepping onto their lot without the weight of pressure on your shoulders. It means finding the perfect vehicle without feeling rushed or pushed. At Waring Sheridan Chevrolet, their priority is taking care of you long after the sale. In fact, their commitment's just starting. The Waring team are your neighbors and your friends and members of our community. Don't settle for ordinary when you can experience the extraordinary. Discover the Waring way of vehicle buying. WaringSheridan.com.
Hello, I'm Elsa.
Hello, I'm Anna.
Hi, I'm Han.
Hi, I'm Kristoff.
We invite you to the Bighorn High School musical production of Frozen Jr., April 5th through April 13th at Bighorn High School.
Tickets are $13 and can be purchased at BighornDrama.com or at the door.
Please come and experience true love and acceptance between two sisters and their beautiful bond with your favorite snowman, Olaf. If you don't think you have time to go to the show, just let it go.
Thank you to Altitude Home Mortgage and Sheridan Media for their sponsorship. Our musical.
We hope to see you at the show.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse, proudly brought to you by our friends out there at First Federal Bank and Trust. I'm Floyd Whiting. For the second part of our show this morning, I am joined by Sheridan County Library System Circulation Services Supervisor Angel Mann and Programming Coordinator Denise Gillenwater. Good morning, ladies, and welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Now, Angel, what is a circulation services supervisor?
I manage the circulation desk as far as the people who run, work it and what happens with books as far as their due dates, their so their loan periods and being discharged and checked in, patrons' accounts, that. So I oversee everyone who handles that sort of thing.
You're the head of the library police.
Sort of. I give that to the director.
Now, why did you choose to initially work within a library system?
Personally, I was looking for a new job, and it was a full-time position at the circulation desk. I started at the bottom and worked my way up.
And you just wanted to jump into the libraries because you liked libraries? Or
Yeah, I liked reading, and you know, it seemed like a decent job for the benefits and that we got.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of people will make this decision early on. Was that something that you decided to do early on?
No.
This just kind of came along.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was in retail for many years before that.
Yeah, that's a rough one. The lessons learned in retail. My daughter's learning those right now.
And it's a good lesson to learn because a lot of our stuff is customer service based.
Yeah. Yeah, out there at the library.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how long have you served in this position?
In this position, what, about 8 years?
8 years.
I want to say 8 to 9.
How long have you worked for the Sheridan County Library System as a whole?
20 and a half years.
Wow. Yeah. I bet you've seen a lot of different things in that amount of time.
Yeah. A lot of changes.
Now, I'm going to put you on the spot. What is the most, I guess I don't want to say stolen, but not turned back in book to your memory? The book that people get, because I could tell you right now, I have bought Animal Farm 4 times in my life and loaned it out 4 times, and it's never come home.
Yeah. The one that comes to mind on the fiction side would be, something Las Vegas. I can't remember the title.
Is it Leaving Fear and Loathing?
Yes.
Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas by Hunter S. Thompson.
Yes. We have replaced that book numerous times.
How poetic. That's amazing. Yeah, I wouldn't have thought that, but now that you say it out loud, I can totally see that. That's interesting. I don't know why all my copies of Animal Farm have ended up in the nether, but I had some nice ones. And you loan that out, don't expect it to come back anytime soon. Another one that I've loaned out a few times and had to repurchase was Grendel by John Gardner. The story of Beowulf's adversary, uh-huh. told from his point of view.
Yeah.
And boy, that one vanishes too. I don't know why.
Must be a good one.
It is actually really. I probably reread that thing four or five different times. Now, you're actually here today because there have been some very recent changes to the Sheridan County Library System's circulation policy, correct?
Yes.
Now, what changes have been handed down?
To start with, our books and audiobooks are changing from a two-week checkout to 3 weeks.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Now, that does not include our new books and CD books or audiobooks. Those will stay 2 weeks. And then we have implemented a one auto renewal, so your first renewal is automatically done.
And I don't have to call in and say, hey, I want to keep this for another 2 weeks. Okay.
No, that first one, unless it has a hold on it, or you borrowed a book, you went down to, say, Buffalo and went to the Johnson County Library and borrowed a book from them, which, by the way, if you don't know, your library card is good at any public library and community college in the state.
Oh, wow.
So if you're visiting another county and you want to use a public library, you can check out items there. Those items will not fall in with the auto renewal. Then we implemented a 3-day grace period on overdue items. So right now our items, you're charged 10 cents a day for each item that is overdue. The first 3 days you get it turned in, you won't have any fines.
Okay.
Starting on the fourth day, if you're still overdue, you will start accruing your fines, and it will start with the 40 cents and then eat 10 cents each day after that.
So essentially, I mean, we've been given extensions. It's not getting tightened up. It's kind of loosening up a little bit. Well, that's pretty cool. What was the reasoning behind this, or did this come from, like, the National Library Association?
No, this was, I don't remember the exact time frame, but every so often the board and that goes over our policies and approves them, or, you know, if any changes that need to be made, they do that. Well, this year happens to be the year that they are going over them, and circulation policy was the first one they touched. And the thing is they are looking, we have a new director. So she brought it to the supervisors and said, hey, are there any changes we want to make? Let's see if we can make this more beneficial to the community.
Yeah.
So all the supervisors got together. We spent about 2 hours hashing out what changes we wanted to see and make, and we all agreed on these changes, and it took a few months to get everything implemented, but we're there.
That's pretty incredible. Just the way that it changes and the fact that the board had to come together to kind of implement this, I would assume that the idea behind these changes is to avoid having to have our public come in and renew the book in person or by phone over and over again, right?
Well, it's just the first one. You're allowed 4 renewals on an item as long as there are no holds on it. And so the first one would be an auto renewal. And then after that, you would still have to either call or come in to renew it, or you can go online yourself.
And traditionally, I would also assume that the more newer items are ones that usually end up having to have a hold because they're more popular when they come in.
Yes.
Now, is there anything to your recollection that is pretty popular, generally on hold quite a bit? I would think like Hunger Games, or maybe the kids really are still after the Harry Potter series.
The most hold items are like CJ Box's new 3-inch teeth. And Craig Johnson's book that comes out in May already has a long list to it. So, yeah, those that are new coming out do have an extended hold list on them.
Well, I think that's pretty incredible. You know, even some of our local Johnson stuff, you know, a lot of fans around here. So I would imagine that Probably not just the new one. I would imagine the last one's probably even still on hold.
Yeah, we'll start seeing, once his new one comes out, we'll start seeing people checking out the older ones again and rereading them, and or someone's like just picked up his latest one and they want to go back and start reading the other ones.
Brushing up on their Longmire history.
Oh, yeah.
Now, again, I'm going to put you on the spot, but the curiosity's kind of wearing me. What's the largest late fee that you can remember?
The thing is there is a cap. So if your item is 4 weeks overdue, it at that point becomes what we called lost assumed, which means you've lost the book or whatever, you're never going to return it. You're being billed for the item at that point. So you're billed the purchase price. If at any point in time you return that item after that, the max is a $3 fine.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. Well, that's pretty good.
We actually had someone return a book that was like, he brought it in and he said it was like 20 years overdue. Now, mind you, that long of a time, the book's already taken out of the system. We know we're never going to see it again, but we actually did.
But it's amazing to see it come walking back through the door, isn't it?
Yeah, it had to do with fly fishing.
Really?
Yep.
Well, I'll tell you, all that knowledge hopefully got passed right down through the family, right?
Yep.
You know, there was an episode of a famous, quite famous TV series in the 1990s. Seinfeld had a librarian police officer chasing him down over a 20-year-old book that was never returned as well. And I thought that was probably one of the best episodes that they ever made. The way that he pursued him to the ends of the earth to try and get this book back. Now, we also have some events coming up going on down there at the library. What's happening at the library this month, Denise?
What's happening at the library this month? Well, this month is, we're almost over. So should we talk
about next month?
How about April? So, we have a couple of different art exhibits going on. On the 3rd, the family of the late local artist, Jean L. Stewart, will be installing an art exhibit in her memory.
Oh, wow.
Up on the mezzanine. And Jean was, I'm guessing, pretty well known around here. I had heard her name before. But she hung out with people like Dean States, and he was also someone who taught her some later in life techniques, I believe, with colored pencil. And she does her subject matter and her imagery has to do with Native Americans and Western life. And beautiful primary colors are used throughout. It's going to be a really gorgeous exhibit, and it'll run until April 30th. And the public is invited to come up at any point during regular library hours to view that. And there'll be a reception. The family's holding a reception at the library on April 9th from 4 to 6 p.m. And the public is invited to come up and visit with them and have some light refreshments. And we also have just a little display that's going to go into our long display cases over there by the fireplace. It's a local man named Daniel Phillips. He has some artwork, and he just recently started painting just in the past year or so. And he has some really cool abstract paintings that we're going to display.
Yeah.
So that's going to be pretty cool. And then, of course, we have the Cool Book Club that's going to meet on April 24th at 5 p.m. We're going to discuss Our Missing Hearts by Celeste Ng. Hope I got her name right. And then we're going to hopefully pick up Me by Elton John. So we voted in the last book club meeting that we want to read some rock and roll biographies more, because we did Dave Grohl's and everybody loved it. And then Claire York's book club meets again on April 30th, and they're going to be discussing, which one is it? Behold the Dreamers by Imbolo Imbui. But yeah, so that's what we have going on. And then, of course, we always have our regularly scheduled children's story times on Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Are those pretty popular, Denise? You see a lot of families show up.
Yeah, Zola does a great job. Zola and her team over at Children's, they do a great job with it. Oh, and for those at Tongue River and Story, Clary Yorks will meet April 10th in Tongue River, and at Story April 22nd. And both of those libraries, their meetings are from 4:30 to 6. So just thought I'd toss that in there too.
With all the construction that's been done to our library, kind of coming to a close finally, are you ladies starting to see a lot more activity in the circle? I mean, are people really taking advantage of this new space?
Absolutely. We've had a really big uptick in public use of the Inner Circle in particular. What else do you see, Angel?
Not much as far as the other construction that was happening was over in the tween section. They remodeled that area. And the kids didn't have their computers for several months, so they're just now starting to realize that they're back up for them. So they're getting a little more use.
Kids are starting to flood back in.
Yes.
And utilize the tech that we've got in there. Do they actually use those, like the meeting rooms for study groups and things like that?
No.
Not as much?
Yeah. No, not the young ones like that. We'll have tutors come in if they have a student they're tutoring, but the most part is the adults and that. Now, Zola will use the Inner Circle and that for kids programs, crafting and that, if she's including the tweens and young adults.
Yeah. So, do we have any crafting or anything coming up for the spring? Or is that kind of held off for other larger holidays?
So, no, it's not held over for holidays. Once a month, I try to do a pop-up painting where, just on the spur of the moment, with a week or maybe a couple of days' notice, I will host an impromptu painting session where we come in, I have people, usually we paint gnomes because that's what's popular, but I've had requests for flowers and landscapes. So if you can keep your eye out on our schedule, either on our website or give me a call or Facebook, I post there. Anybody can come in. I have the paints, I have the space, I have the canvases, I have images to look at. You can just come in and paint for a couple hours, and we have a good time. It's casual, and it's about you expressing your creativity in your way.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And it's free.
Well, that's fantastic. Yeah. I think at one point, and I don't want to misspeak, but my wife went to a painting session with her friend and came home with a gnome. It very well may have been.
Seriously?
Yes. Yeah. That gnome painting sits on the kitchen table, and he's been there for a really long time.
Well, congratulations.
So now I know where I think she went. But she said, everybody was there, and they just got to paint these cute little gnomes. And and she loves doing it. I mean, she's, she's way into those little, what are they called? Meatsies? I think they're called Meatsies, little mythical creatures from Sweden.
Oh, I'll have to look
it up. They're very gnomish.
Very
gnomish. They're kind of got the hat pulled down low over their eyes and the big noses with the huge beards. We see them all over the place.
Yes.
I may be mispronouncing what they're called, and if I am, I certainly apologize to anybody out there. But
I had someone tell me that what we're painting is they're not gnomes, they're norks.
Norks?
And I have no idea what they're talking about. So.
I think it depends on the part of the world that you're in as to what those things are called. Now, before I let you go really fast, Angel, I was going to touch on, I've only got a couple minutes left too, getting a library card. How do folks do that nowadays? I mean, is it still required that I go in, fill out an application in person, or can I do that online?
It is still required to come in person. And the only thing that we require is a photo ID from the person applying for the card. Now, you have to be at least 16 in order to get a card on your own if you have a photo ID. Otherwise, it's 18. Anyway, younger ones have to have a parent come in and get their card for them.
Okay. So grab your legal guardian.
Yes.
Head in there. Get yourself a library card. And I mean, that opens up the whole world. You can get DVDs.
Yes.
You can borrow not just books.
No.
Lots of different stuff.
DVDs. We just started adding Blu-rays. We have a very small collection right now, but a lot of things are coming out on Blu-ray only. So we started adding to that collection. Magazines, books, audiobooks, whether it be CD or an MP3 audiobook.
Oh, fantastic. That was going to be my next question. My wife loves to throw the audiobook in and then just go about doing whatever she needs to do. And she's actually knocked out quite a few books lately. She went from podcasts to audiobooks. She's one of those people, loves to have something in her ear. She's getting things done. So, Angel, Denise, I want to thank you both so much for coming in this morning. It was an absolute pleasure. And here's to folks bringing everything back on time, Angel.
Thank you, Floyd.
All right. You've been listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Shared it.
A new year means new adventures. Make this year the start of your homeownership adventure with First Federal Bank and Trust. Our local team will guide you through the home loan process from start to finish. Explore our online tools 24/7, from customizable financial calculators to daily mortgage rates. Call us or stop by our home loan center to get pre-qualified or apply online today at efirstfederal.bank. At First Federal Bank and Trust, we're making home happen in Sheridan. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Time for new tires? Lucky for you, Midas is rolling out the best deals on brand name tires. Buy three, get one free with installation on Cooper, Hankook, and Toyo tires. Brakes needing service? Save $100 on brake repair this month at Midas. Time for an oil change? Save $20 on that too. And you could save $50 on a purchase of $400 or more, plus 6 months no interest with the Midas credit card. Put a spring in your drive and a little more green in your pump at Midas Tire and Auto in Sheridan.
This is Ken here at Prime Rate Motors. We understand everybody's situation is different. Not everyone that comes to Prime Rate Motors is looking for a new vehicle. We also sell and install GR brand flatbed conversions and Krogman bale feeders. Looking for a trailer? We offer a complete line of GR, Wilson, Merritt, flatbeds, stock trailers, even tandem axle enclosed cargo trailers. Stop in, let's work something out. Here at Prime Rate Motors, the Super Trailer Store, or PrimeRateMotors.com.
Synergy Shop Aluminiums, work and play where you live, combining both commercial and residential elements. On the ground floor, a large warehouse space with a full bath, conference office area, and a laundry. Upstairs, living area customized to fit your individual needs. Conveniently located on Sheridan's East Ridge Road. See the plans and photos on our Synergy Shop Aluminiums Facebook page. Synergy Shop Aluminiums, reserve yours today. Call Sheridan Realty Associates for more information.
The following message presented by First Federal Bank and Trust, Sheridan's only mutual bank. Visit efirstfederal.bank.
Hi, my name is Desiree Wills with Volunteers of America. Join us Thursday, April 18th at the Sheridan Community Fairgrounds for our Empty Bowl community event. This family-friendly event features gourmet soups donated by local restaurants, churches, and other organizations. There will be music, children's games, and even prizes. Tickets may be purchased in advance on the VOA Northern Rockies website or at the door. The Empty Bowl community event is 5 to 6:30 p.m., April 18th.
Sports. They're pretty cool. I like them a lot. In fact, I like them so much that I have a podcast about them. This is James Timberlake with the Weekend Sports Wrap Podcast, and every week we go through the top news stories of basketball, football, baseball, and everything else in between. And sometimes we'll ponder something different, like the first person to drink cow's milk. How'd that go? What was that conversation like with his peers? But we mainly talk about sports on the Weekend Sports Wrap Podcast, posted every week on SheridanMedia.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, this is Sean Hannity, and you are listening to News Talk 930 KROE, the news you want, the information you need.